We're looking at the whole chapter, Exodus 29, but we're going to just read from verse 44. This is the reading of God's Word. I will consecrate the tent of meeting and the altar. I will also consecrate Aaron and his sons to minister as priests to me. I will dwell among the sons of Israel and will be their God. They shall know that I am the Lord, their God, who brought them out of the land of Egypt, that I might dwell among them. I am the Lord, their God. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We pray that you will grant us, all of us, an ear to hear your word. And through your word, let us see what your Son has done and what he has accomplished for us, that let us rejoice for our eternal life has been accomplished. And Father, we pray that as we hear your word, that our faith will grow, that we'll be more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ, that we may live the life that clearly brings out the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you and pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If you remember chapter 19 of Exodus, God said the purpose of the Exodus is, this is what God says in chapter 19, verse 6, "And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and holy nation." As we look at the priestly garments in chapter 28 that we just finished last time, and the consecration, the ordination, and the installation of the priests in chapter 29, the chapter that we are looking at today, we see that promise of God in chapter 19 being fulfilled in the Old Testament level, a typological level. To be God's own possession means to be his kingdom of priests and his holy nation. This is what we are looking at in our chapters 28 and 29. But remember, it is only in the Old Testament level. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the one who fulfills the promise of God completely and perfectly. In Jesus Christ, all of his people are the royal priesthood of God. We are cleansed of our sins and our shame with his blood, and we are clothed with his righteousness. We are wearing Jesus Christ. We are wearing the glory of God. We are wearing the true priestly garments. We came out of sin to be holy people of God. We came out of Satan to be God's own possession forever. That reality is shown in a typological way as the Israelites are saved from Egypt to be God's kingdom of priests and his holy nation. That reality is shown in our chapter through the installation of Aaron and his sons as the priests of God. God calls them and washes them and puts on them the beautiful, holy, priestly garments. And as the priests of God, they are called to live a holy life of priests. Again, there are so much information in this chapter, but rather than looking at this chapter in many, many weeks, again, I'll try to finish this chapter today. So let us look at it very in a brief manner. As we have seen last Lord's Day, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is the true high priest. And we need to keep this in mind as we look at our passage. In our passage, we are looking at the ordination and the installation of the priests. If you recall, chapter 28, verse 41b, you shall anoint them and ordain them and consecrate them that they may serve me as priests. And if we come over to chapter 29, verse 7, then you shall take the anointing oil and pour it on his head and anoint him. And chapter 29, verse 21, then you shall take some of the blood that is on the altar and some of the anointing oil and sprinkle it on Aaron and his garments and on his sons and on his sons' garments with him, so he and his garments shall be consecrated, as well as his sons and his sons' garments with him. As we all know, the oil points to the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 3, verse 21 through 23a, now when all the people were baptized, Jesus was also baptized, and while he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came out of heaven, "You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased." When he began his ministry, Jesus himself was about 30 years of age. You see, his baptism points to his ordination as the high priest. Just like oil, but oil points to Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit came down upon him. A priest must be consecrated by another priest. So we see John the Baptist, who gave the baptism to Jesus. He is a son of priest, Zechariah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 5 and verse 13. He's a son of a priest. Jesus receives a baptism from John the Baptist. Matthew chapter 21, verse 23 to 27, it says, when he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him while he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them, "I will also ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John was from what source? From heaven or from men?" And they began reasoning among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Then why did you not believe him?' But if we say from men, we fear the people, for they all regard John as a prophet." And answering Jesus, they said, "We do not know." He also said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." Of course, he does this by the authority of our God the Father. And the baptism. See, in order for you to work as a priest, there has to be ordination. Just like, you know, pastors today, or elders today, or deacons today. There has to be ordination that clearly witnesses that it is God who is calling them and who is raising them up into that office. And the baptism that Jesus received is exactly that. His baptism was his ordination and installation as the true high priest. And Numbers chapter 4 verse 3 says about priests, from 30 years and upward, even to 50 years old, all who entered the service to do the work in the tent of meeting. So in the Old Testament, in order for you to be a priest, you have to be 30 years old. And guess what? Jesus, at the time of his baptism, when he began his ministry, he was about 30 years old because he died after 3 years of ministry, and he died at 33. His ministry was a ministry as the high priest. Of course, his ministry was at the same time a ministry as the king and also ministry as the prophet. And as we see the priestly garments in chapter 28 and the ordination and installation of the priests in chapter 29, we are also looking at our reality of heaven in Jesus Christ. This is what happened to you. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9a says, "But you are a chosen race." He's talking to all Christians. "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession." See, our Lord Jesus Christ is the true high priest, and in him, because of our union with him, we too are the priests of God, royal priesthood. We are also king and a priest. And this is who we are. The consecration of the priests. They are to take one bull and two rams without blemish, and unleavened bread and unleavened cakes mixed with oil, and unleavened wafers spread with oil. They are to make them with fine wheat flour. They are to put them in one basket and present them in the basket along with the bull and the two rams. Then there are eight things that happen in our text in this chapter. So let me, without reading the whole thing, because I realize some people, by reading all these verses, you get more confused. So let me make it simple for you. First thing, they are to bring Aaron and his sons to the doorway of the tent of meeting and wash them with water. They have to take a bath. Second, and they are to take the priestly garments and put them on Aaron and his sons. For Aaron, the high priest, they are to set the turban on his head and put the holy crown on the turban. We already saw how are they to make these things. And the third, they are to anoint the high priest to make him holy with oil. Fourth, and because of sins of Aaron and his sons, a sin offering with a bull must be offered. Okay, now they are to take two rams. And fifthly, a burnt offering with the first ram. They are to do that. And sixthly, the other ram. This is the ordination ram. And seventh, the ordination lasts 7 days. And eighth, 2 one-year-old lambs each day. One during morning and the other at twilight. They are to offer that sacrifice. So then, let us look at these things very briefly. The first and the second and the third. Washing and putting on the priestly garments and anointing the high priest. They are to wash Aaron and his sons with water, then put the high priestly garments on them. Washing and wearing the priestly garment are closely related, because this points to the reality that Galatians chapter 3, verse 27 says, "For all of you who were baptized," washing, baptized, "into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ," wearing. So, by washing them and putting the priestly garment on them and anointing them, you see that reality. And always remember that this is pointing to Christ, but also this is your reality. It actually happened to you. You have been washed, obviously, by the blood of Jesus. And the true priestly garment has been put on to you. You are wearing Christ. You are wearing his righteousness. And the Holy Spirit came to you. There is that anointing of oil. This happened to you. See, all this process that we're going to see, all happened to you. Because you are the priest of God. Anointing with oil is also related here, as we will see. The washing with water, cleansing. But at the same time, it points to the judgment, God's judgment, as in the events like Noah's flood. So it's not just cleansing, but it's also about judgment of God. And you remember crossing the Red Sea? As the Israelites crossed the Red Sea, they were baptized with Moses. But they came out of that Red Sea. But Egyptians, their army, they went into the water, but they never came out. So Israelites are the ones that typologically shows that they are the ones who are united to Christ. So not only they die with Christ, but they also resurrect with Christ. Not only they go into the water, but they come out because they are united to Christ. But Egyptians, they're portraying people who are not united to Christ. So they just go into the water, but they never come out. They just die. No resurrection. See, this is a picture of new creation. The new creation is the work of the Holy Spirit, whom the oil was pointing to. The Holy Spirit came to us and recreated us who were dead in our trespasses. He recreated us in the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the reality behind the anointment with oil. So you see Holy Spirit coming to the high priest. And what is happening? Well, the picture is that he's being recreated. He's being born again. And that's exactly what happened to us. Holy Spirit came and he made us a new creation. And that's when we're washed. And that's when we're wearing the true priestly garment. Very important that when we read the Old Testament, that you see it as your reality because it points to Christ. Otherwise, then, you know, why are we even looking at these things? If there's no connection, it's not about us. Now, in the washing and wearing the priestly garment, we also see the reality of imputation of the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. As you know, our sins are cleansed with his blood, and so forgiven, and his righteousness has been imputed to us. So we too are ordained as the priests of God when we were saved, when we were born again. Now, fourth thing, the sin offering with a bull must be offered. Verse 10 says, then you shall bring the bull before the tent of meeting, and Aaron and his sons shall lay their hands on the head of the bull. Aaron and his sons' sins are transferred to the bull, laying of his hand on that animal. So the symbolism of transferring, imputation of his sin to that bull. Just like our sin is imputed to Jesus Christ when he dies on the cross. The picture here is that of the imputation of our sins to Jesus Christ. There are three imputations in the Bible, as you know. Adam's sin is imputed to us. And our sin is imputed to Christ. And Christ's, his righteousness is imputed to us. So all these three imputations are our reality. That bull is killed for their sins. The blood is shed. Verse 13 and 14, you shall take all the fat that covers entrails and the lobe of the liver and the two kidneys and the fat that is on them and offer them up in smoke on the altar. But the flesh of the bull and its hide and its refuse you shall burn with fire outside the camp. It is a sin offering outside the camp. All this points to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11 to 12 says, for the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy place by the high priest as an offering for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people through his own blood, suffer outside the gate. So his death place was outside of the gate. See, nothing just happens. There's always meaning. His blood was shed, and he was offered up to God as the perfect sacrifice to God for our sins. His death was a substitutionary death, meaning he died instead of us. The fifth thing, two rams. The first one is to be used as a burnt offering. Verse 18, you shall offer up in smoke the whole ram on the altar. It is a burnt offering to the Lord. It is a soothing aroma, an offering by fire to the Lord. The whole ram is to be burned completely. This points to the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. The perfect life, completely offered up to God. And this is the life of the priest. That's why our life must be in terms of completely offering ourselves to God, because we are his priest. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Sixth thing, the other ram. This is ordination ram, it says. Verse 20, you shall slaughter the ram and take some of its blood and put it on the lobe of Aaron's right ear and on the lobes of his son's right ears and on the thumb of their right hand and on the big toe of their right feet and sprinkle the rest of the blood around the altar. So blood on the lobe of right ear and the thumbs of right hands and the big toes of right feet. Ears, hands, and feet. These points point to listening and doing and obeying. Blood on the ear lobe. Do you remember? We are seeing the same thing. We saw the same thing in chapter 21, verse 6. Then his master shall bring him to God. Then he shall bring him to the door or the doorpost. And his master shall pierce his ear with an awl. And he shall serve him permanently. See the earring. The origin of earring is that you are saying that you are a slave. You know, all this ring and earrings and all that is about being slave. That's the meaning. And yet somehow people completely forgot about that. So, you became a slave to another Jew in the Old Testament. But every seventh year, you are to free them. And you do that for seven times, and the 50th year is the year of Jubilee, and you are to completely free them. But let's say you became a slave to this master, another Jew, but you love him as your master so much that you don't want to be freed. Because on the year of Jubilee, you are automatically freed, but you say, no, I don't want to be free. I want to be your servant forever. Then the master should pierce the servant's ear. And that's the point. The blood is put on the lobes of his ear and the thumb and the big toes of the right feet. All this pointing to that they're saying that I'm going to serve God permanently. See, in the Old Testament, not having the thumb and the big toe means you are worthless in the Old Testament. But here, the picture is that you offer all that to God, using them to serve God. Verse 21, then you shall take some of the blood that is on the altar and some of the anointing oil and sprinkle it on Aaron and his garments and on his sons and on his sons' garments with him. So he and his garments shall be consecrated, as well as his sons and his sons' garments with him. Thus their garments are consecrated. They are the holy garments. The blood is sprinkled on the garments. What's this? Well, Revelation chapter 7, God's people are wearing the white robes in heaven. And it says in verse 14b, it says that there are the ones who come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. That they are cleansed. Verse 24, and you shall put all these in the hands of Aaron and in the hands of his sons and shall wave them as a wave offering before the Lord. Verse 26, then you shall take the breast of Aaron's ram of ordination and wave it as a wave offering before the Lord, and it shall be your portion. The things that belong to God is given to us to enjoy here. Then, according to verse 28, the breast of the ordination ram is offered as a wave offering, then the thigh as a heave offering. Then we read in verses 31 and 32, you shall take the ram of ordination and boil its flesh in a holy place. Aaron and his sons shall eat the flesh of the ram and the bread that is in the basket at the doorway of the tent of meeting. The reality of this is shown during the Lord's Supper. Not only we see Jesus, the perfect sacrifice who has been offered up to God once and for all, but Jesus himself becomes our nourishment that we eat and drink of. So here, the ram is offered up to God, but at the same time, also, they are to sit down and eat. The seventh thing, the ordination process is to last 7 days. Well, seven is a complete number. So this points to the complete consecration to God. And the picture here is that they are made completely holy. And in Jesus Christ, you and I, we are completely, perfectly consecrated to God as his priest. And this 7 days also obviously point to new creation. Just like the first creation in 7 days, we see 7 days again here. And the last thing, according to verses 38 through 44, 2 one-year-old lambs are to be offered up to God each day continuously, one in the morning and the other at twilight, morning one with the drink offering, and the evening one with the drink offering and grain offering. They are to thus sacrifice every day burnt offering, the drink offering, and the grain offering. It shall be a continual burnt offering. At the altar then, God will meet with the sons of Israel. As they offer this at the altar, God will meet them. So we see here the continual fellowship with God is witnessed. Now the conclusion. We'll end this chapter. Conclusion of all these things, verses 45 and 46 that we read. I will dwell among the sons of Israel and will be their God. They shall know that I am the Lord their God who brought them out of the land of Egypt, that I might dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. Our salvation is accomplished by God and God alone. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11 through 14. Every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But he, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God, waiting for that time onward until his enemies be made a footstool for his feet. For by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. In Jesus Christ, you and I are the priests of God. The Holy Spirit came upon us to recreate us in the image of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the true high priest. You and I, we are the royal priesthood of God. Understand and know and believe that you have been completely and perfectly consecrated to God as his priest. So obviously you must live this holy life of priest because that's who you are. See, by living according to the world is you're denying who you are. But more importantly, you're denying what Jesus Christ has accomplished for you. You're saying, no thanks, Jesus. How can we do that? And your life is all about serving God then. Your life is all about offering yourselves to God as the living sacrifice because you are the priest of God. This is who we are now and forever. So we read in Revelation chapter 7, verse 15, for this reason they are before the throne of God and they serve him day and night in his temple, and he who sits on the throne will spread his tabernacle over them. This is what's going to happen in heaven. You will serve God day and night. Heaven is not just really nice place and really good place that you could go and just do whatever you want. That's not what heavenly life is. Heavenly life is all about worshiping God, serving him, as his priest, because salvation, the purpose of salvation is that we may be his own possession and we may be the kingdom of God, of priests and the holy nation. This is what happened to us. Now, you know, you might understand this in a wrong way and say, man, then heaven's life's going to be so boring. No. And you might feel that because during your life here on earth that this worship that you do is so boring. But it's all about your understanding and your attitude and your faith. We're actually gather as his people to serve God and worship him. And that is exactly what we're doing, and this is better than our life itself. That's why there's so much joy. You know, I say these things to little kids. If you don't like worship, you will not like heaven. If you don't like worshiping God and serving God, why do you think you will like heaven? Because heaven is all about serving Him and worshiping Him. But it all depends on how much you love God, because when you love someone, you know, like in your, you go out date, do you really care what you do? But it's all about that person. Just being with that person, that's all you want. You know, doing is secondary, right? You don't really, unless you don't really like that person that much, then you would focus on what you're doing. But if you truly love that person, I don't think it's about what you do. It's about being with that person. And that's how we feel about God, just being with Him forever and ever and receiving His love. This is what our joy is. So we'll serve Him and we'll worship Him. But at the same time, as we do that, there's fellowship between God and us. So brothers and sisters, remember, even as you go out that door, even when earthly worship on this holy day is over, you realize I am still priest of God, and my life is about serving and worshiping God. Because that is who you are. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. Thank You for Your grace upon us. Thank You for making us Your priest. Oh, how joy fills our hearts, knowing that we are now Your priest. That our life is all about serving You and worshiping You. Let us live the holy life that belongs to Your priests. But only in Jesus Christ that we are able to do this well. Left alone, we will not be able to witness who we are truly in Jesus Christ. So we pray, Father, that You will teach us, You will give us understanding and faith, that You will give us desire to obey, and You will increase our joy as we serve You and worship You now and forever. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.